Okay, good evening, everyone. So, we were discussing last week, primarily we were discussing the inyanim of psik resha. We began with the malach of choresh, but the malach of choresh is an easy segue into the inyanim of psik resha, because you have the famous case there of the person who's dragging a very heavy bench against a dirt field, where it's inevitable that by doing so he's going to cause the malach of choresh and cause furrows to be created in the dirt as they drag the legs of the bench are going to dig up the earth and make furrows, which is the mahus, that is the essence of the malach of choresh, making these furrows. And so that's why we started discussing some of the yesodos of psik resha. So we began discussing, I don't remember exactly how far we got into it, but we were discussing the idea of psik resha delo nichale, which means that the idea of psik resha means that I'm actively being mechaven to do one thing, but something else is going to inevitably result. Meaning I can't do A without doing B. I'm not mechavin for B, and typically Darav Sheinu miskavin and Shabbos is mutter. As long as I'm not mechavin for something, even if I do an action, I'm not mechavin for a malacha that may result from it, it's mutter to do it. But if it's what the Gemara says, if it will definitely result, it's not that it may result, it will definitely result. It's a psik resha, it's inevitable consequence, like cutting off the head of the chicken, it's inevitably going to kill the chicken. So then it's usher. Even Rabbi Shimon, who holds Darav Sheinu miskavin's mutter, he's mode Rabbi Shimon b'psik resha. So we were saying though that psik resha could be divided into two categories.
I have a question with psik resha. For example, okay, we already arrived to a conclusion that it's forbidden if I drag a table over a field and
it's very heavy.
Ditch. But why it's forbidden if first? It's not my intention to do a thing, the ditch, even if it's going to happen, I don't care if it happens. I understand the concept of it's going to cut the chicken in the head, but it's also a shinui, you know? Like you have the shinui and you also
correct.
Have the...
So you're correct. So, but that's you're helping bring out the point that even though it's something which is not constructive, and it's mekalkel very often, and it's a shinoi, as you say, it's called kal achar yad. It's not the typical way of doing the malacha. So it has a lot of aspects, well, a lot of features to it that make it not an isra daraisa. Nonetheless, psik resha is usur even by an isra darabanan, and even a psik resha. That's what I wanted to get to now. Psik resha nichale means where not only am I not intending for the secondary act to happen, but I don't even want it to happen, or I certainly have no benefit in it. The words lo nichale means that it's something which I don't I prefer it not happen. And then there's a level where it's lo ichpasle, where I don't care. Either way, it's not just that I'm not being mechaven, but I'd be just as happy, or maybe happier, if it didn't happen. So that we said last week that by those cases where it's a psik resha delo nichale, where by doing A, B is going to result, and B is something I don't want. That's a machlokas rishonim, machlokas between Tosfos and Shas in a couple of places, and the Aruch. Tosfos quotes the Aruch. The Aruch holds psik resha delo nichale is mutter, meaning I'm allowed to do A. Even if I know, knowing that B will result, if B is something which is not beneficial for me, and even all the more so if something which is harmful for me, damaging, that's the Aruch holds. But Tosfos holds not like that. Tosfos brings rayas to try to disprove the sheet of the Aruch and to prove that even where psik resha is lo nichale, it is still usur. So we said last week that it won't be usur midaraisa though. Right. Even though normally a psik resha, when it's nichale, when I'm doing A and I'm not being mechavim for B, but I'm very happy with B, so there that's an isa daraisa. If B, you know, if B is a malach, it's isa daraisa. But whereas psik resha is a lo nichale, then it's an isa darabanan because it can't be worse than a malach hashen tzricha legufa. Malach hashen tzricha legufa means that not doing it for the purpose in the Mishkan. I'm not doing it to accomplish what they intended to accomplish the Mishkan. I'm not intending to accomplish anything. I'm not intending for it to happen altogether. So I can't possibly, you know, it can't be considered malacha tzricha l'gufa, but it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. And as a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, it is usher the way we paskin. That itself is a malchus rishon, but we paskin malchus shein tzricha l'gufa is usher midrabbanan. So psikreish l'nichale will be usher midrabbanan. Now, okay, so this pretty much we said that last week. Now, what a big discussion in the poskim is, what happens if in a situation where it's not just a single derabbanan, but it's trei derabbanan, meaning the only reason why this act is usser is if a combination of derabbanans. Only if you come about, you apply this is the derabbanan and that is the derabbanan. They have to coincide for this to be usser, which makes it, if anything, like weaker, right? In other words, if you do something which is usser because derabbanan said very clearly don't do that, then okay, that's one level. But if you do something which, oh, it wasn't enough the Rabbanan said don't do X because what I'm doing isn't exactly X, but the Rabbanan also said don't do Y. Well, what I'm doing is not exactly Y, but together it is. For example, let me, instead of being talking in riddles, let's give the example. There's a case in Siman Shin Tes Zayin. We're discussing the halachas of Tzeida on Shabbos, right? Tzeida, trapping of animals or bugs, is one of the 39 of his malachas. You're not allowed to trap Balei Chaim on Shabbos. So the Ramad discusses the following. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that within the malacha of Tzeida, there, not every form of Tzeida is d'oraisa. It depends what you're trapping. If you're trapping something which is called the Mino Nitzod, it's the type of thing which is commonly trapped. I mean, people have a use for it, like animals, like the case in the Gemara is a tzvi, a deer. They were commonly trapped. There are a lot of uses for it. They used the meat and they used other parts of it, and it's something that's commonly trapped. So if trapping that on Shabbos is an issa d'oraisa. If you trap something which is not commonly trapped, or at least not commonly trapped to use it, maybe just to get rid of it, like certain types of bugs, which people may trap, but al pirov, people aren't trapping it because they want to use it. Like the Shulchan Aruch says, zvuvim. The Mechaber says trapping a fly on Shabbos is not an issa d'oraisa, it's an issa d'rabbanan, because flies are called ein b'mino nitzod. They are not the type of species that people typically trap. Yeah, there are people that trap them in order to use, you know, they make various medicines out of it. There are different things, but it's not, you know, that's not the common practice. That's a unique reason. It's not widespread. So that's called ein b'mino nitzod. So trapping something ein b'mino nitzod is only an issa d'rabbanan. So then the Rama says, nonetheless, let's say you have a box, some sort of box or some sort of keli, where there are flies in it, and you're not interested in trapping them, but you are interested in closing the box, for other reasons. But by closing the box, inevitably you're going to trap the flies. If you close the box fully, if you put the lid on totally, the flies are not going to be able to get out. So you're going to be trapping them. So the Rama says, if it's a small box, it's the teva katana, it's usher to do that. It's usher to close the teva katana on Shabbos if there are flies inside. Now, why is it usher, and why only a teva katana? It's usher because it's a psik resha of trapping, right? Now, but why only a teva katana? Why? What's the difference then if it would be a teva gadola? So it says, Mr. Burr explains, if it would be a teva gadola, if it would be a large box, then it's only usher because of two derabbanans. Number one, trapping flies is itself only a derabbanan. But number two, trapping something like a fly, which is able to, you know, get around, is able to avoid being, avoid people, you know, pretty adequately. So in a large box, where even if it was trapped, it was contained within the box, you still wouldn't be able to actually grab it in your hand very easily. You'd have to put some effort into it. What the lashon of the Gemara is shchia achas. If you couldn't just like go one swoop and get it. If it was a dog in a box, even if it's a pretty big box, you know, the outdoor, you'd be able to get it's large enough that if it's trapped in a very large room, then not. But flies in a large box, where the way the Mishnah puts it, even if somebody was standing inside that box, he would not be able to catch the fly so easily. He'd have to put effort into it, and it'd probably take him a number of tries. Then that type of trapping is derabanan. Even if a fly would be a normally trapped item, you know, a species, it would still be derabanan. So here it's only a intersection of two derabanans. Number one, trapping flies, even though they're not normally trapped, is also derabanan. But that's the real trapping. This is not real. This is not full. You know, this is not the top level of trapping. This is only a second level of trapping where you're containing them within the box, but they're not really trapped yet. So that itself is only derabanan. So you need the cross of both derabanans to make it usser, right? So since it's only usser when the two derabanans combine, and it's not your intention altogether. I'm not closing the box to trap the flies. I'd be just as happy if the flies would leave. I'm only closing the box because I don't want the things to fall out of the box, or I don't want the rain to get into the box, whatever it is. I'm closing the box for totally separate reasons, permissible reasons, and trapping the flies is which is going to inevitably result in a psikresha, is only a double derabban, is only us because of two derabbanans combining. That's mutter. Ramos, that's mutter, right? In other words, basically, you don't have to worry about when it's a davar shein miskaven, you're not trying to do it. Even if it's a psikresha, you don't have to worry about it. You're allowed to do it, provided what you're doing is only usher because of a meeting, a combination of two derabbanans. It's called psikresha, betray derabbanan. Right? Okay? So if it would be a psikresha, one derabbanan, if it would be, like the Ramah says, if it would be a small box that you're closing, where once the box is closed, it is easy enough to catch the fly. It's like probably a pretty small box, but whatever. It's a small box where closing it, the fly will be easily caught, and then that's only one derabbanan. That's only, right, and only needs one derabbanan tasa. So that you're not allowed to do, even if you're not intending to trap the fly. But it's a psikresha. On the other hand, if it would be a very large thing, let's say it would be a large room, but the thing inside is not a fly, it's a deer, a tzvi, where trapping a tzvi is an issa deraisa, but he's not really trapped yet, because even though he's contained within this large room, but for me to actually grab him is going to take a while. For the person to get it, it's going to take a few tries. I can't get him with lunge. I can't lunge at him one time and trap him. It's going to take me more than shriachas. So trapping him is only derabbanan, but since trapping deers is inherently deraisa, so that's only one derabbanan, so that would be usser. You wouldn't be able to close. If you knew you had a tzvi inside this large room, you can't close the door of the room, even if you're not trying to confine the tzvi. But you end up, you are confining him within a large room, which is a derabbanan form of trapping. On a tzvi, which is a deraisa species, we'd not be allowed to do. But when it's a combination of both, the species is only usher derabbanan because it's a fly. And the situation is only derabbanan because it's a large enough box that the flies could avoid your grab. So that you're allowed to do when it's not your kavana. Psikresha betray derabbanan.
If a person has a dog and wants to look in the room, let's say he has visitors in Shabbat. And he wants to lock the dog in the room. Is that a problem of trapping?
So we'll have to learn Seda, but if it's in a small room where you'd be, once he's in that room, once he's contained in that room, you'd be able to grab him with one shot, then Pashas it is. Yeah, because that's... and there you're intending to do it even. There you're intending to do it,
so it's
different if it's your animal or not.
Trapping? No, absolutely no difference. There is a difference. In domesticated animals and non-domesticated, there is a shtickle difference at the end of Siman Shin Tes Zayin, that for the record. But
if you trap it just to get it out of the house? The kids are afraid of
that. Right, so that would be a malacha shein etzricha legufa. It's still trapping. That makes it also derabbanan. And there are differences. See, this is something I'll be happy to go into, but I don't want to go into all these details right now because I don't want to say something wrong.
And because of the flies, if someone traps it in the big box, so it's trapping something that's not commonly trapped, And the second part is that since it's in Pesach, it's not a Pesach Reisha, it's not really trapped.
No, it is a Pesach Reisha, but it's not a derisive form of trapping. The derisive form of trapping is when it's confined enough that you could grab it now.
Okay, fine.
Right, it's not the same. Okay. Okay, so we're just bringing this case of trapping just to bring out the concept, not for the specifics of Hilchos trapping, though it's definitely a worthwhile topic, and maybe even after this, maybe we'll do this. The point for now is the point that I made now. So at the same time that the Rama is apparently makel here, the Mishnah Berurah in other areas, Mishnah Berurah is not makel, even when you have a situation of a Pesach Reisha with two Derabbanans. For example, getting back to our case of pulling a bench. Along an area where you're not interested in making ditches at all, you'd much rather have, nobody's planning on planting anything over there, and you'd much rather not have furrows in the earth. So that's mekalkel. You're if anything, you're causing harm to the earth, and it's kalachayad, like you pointed out. It's an unusual way of plowing, which is two derabbanans. And it's not your kavanah anyway. I'm just pulling the bench because I want to sit on the bench. I want my company to be able to sit on the bench over there. I'm just dragging the bench to get it from point A to point B, not to make this furrow. And the furrows are destructive, and the furrows are unusual. It's an unusual fashion. Mr. Bruce says it's still usher to do. What he says indoors, you could put indoors on tiled or on flooring, on top of flooring where no furrow will be made, there you could do it. So he said, well, isn't that obvious? If you're not making a furrow anyway, what's the malacha? It's not obvious, as the Mishnah Berurah says, because the Gemara says that Chazal made a gzera on certain things that you're not allowed to do on the earth, on dirt, because of malacha of choresh. You're not even allowed to do indoors, because what the Gemara calls karka bekarka michlif. A person who's not fully learned can easily make an error and confuse one form of ground with another and think, if I'm allowed to do this inside, so I could do it outside, not realizing that no, the inside you could do it because you have tiles in your house, and outside it's dirt, it's earth. So Chazal made a gzera that things which you can't do outside, you can't do inside, in terms of doing things on the earth, dragging things and sweeping and playing with things, things that we'd have to get to Bezer Hashem in this Melacha Chorish. However, in certain cases, in many of the cases, if you live in a place where practically all the houses have flooring, people don't have dirt floors in the homes. It's not like, once upon a time where it was very common to have dirt floors. No, you live in a country where it's not at all common, or maybe it's even basically unheard of, then some of these, or many of these gzeras don't apply, as this is something that we will get to. So the point is, the Mishnah Berurah says, pulling a bench indoors on a tile floor, if you live in a place where everybody's homes are tiled, then that you could do. Because there is only two derabbanans. Again, it's almost like three, but it's two derabbanans that it's, if it would make a furrow, it would be destructive. It's unusual way of doing it. And you're not even being mechavad. You don't want to do it. You're not trying to do it. You're not trying to make a furrow. So all that, for that is mutter, at least indoors. That's what Mishnah says. But outdoors, not. To pull the bench outdoors in along your backyard, which is not paved, which is a dirt surface, then you're talking not allowed to do it. I'm sure. And there are other examples of that as well.
Someone's making a furrow. At the end of the day, you're still making a furrow.
Right. Well, okay, but you're doing it b'stavash and miskaven, and it's lo nichale, it's lo nichale, and it's
the same thing with the box, a small box of flies. I'm not scouting to trap that.
But the point is over there. But the small box, it was only one derabbanan. By small box, because you could easily grab them. It's just the derabbanan, because they're flies.
Yeah, but I'm not scouting, and it's not the
it's not the lo nichale, and it's right. So that's lo nichale with one derabbanan. Okay.
That's it. The shinoi also. So
I don't know. So maybe the Rama would say it's mutter.
Okay.
Maybe it would. But the Mishnah Berurah in a number of places seems to say Pesach Reish Lo Nichle is not mutter. Although, again, by the case of the flies, he doesn't he doesn't indicate that he wouldn't hold like this, Ramah. So Lamaisa, so the poskim discuss it whether or not one could be makel, and it's just, if we just go back a step, even the etzem psikreshul nichale, before we even get into Durabanans, just the very idea of psikreshul nichale, which the Aruch holds is mutter, right? We said machlokes tos in the Aruch. There are achronim that pass like the Aruch even in that. Now, that's not the halacha lemaisa. So we don't pass like the Aruch. We pass psikreshul nichale is usher. And we even pass psikreshul nichale is usher by Durabanan. When it's trei Durabanan, we're usually not so machmer. We're not usually so machmer by psikreshul nichale. Although, again, it's not a given, as I just showed you, Mishnah Berurah. And the Chazon Ish says that there's definitely no such rule. He says there's no rule in Shas that says psikreshul nichale is mutter by two Durabanan. He says there's no such yisod in Shas. But you know, that being said, we frequently would often be makel if it's psikreshul nichale by two Durabanans. Often the psak would be that it is mutter to do like the case of the Ramah there. Okay. Now, I want to discuss another concept, which is a very interesting concept in the laws of psikresha, the concept of psikresha. And that is the following. I'll start with the case, and then from the case we'll try to bring out the concept. The Taz talks, we just said, going back to this case of trapping the flies, the Taz says, what would be if you have a box where you can't, and let's say it's even a small box, but you're not sure if there are flies in it or not. It's dark, it's nighttime, and it's dark, and you can't really see if there are flies in it or not. You can't tell. There may be. Or there may be, I don't know, some other creatures that will get trapped. But you can't tell. Are you allowed to close the box then? I'm not trying to trap them. I'd be happier if there are no flies, but I want to close the box. There may be flies. Let's see, even a small box, but I can't tell if there are flies. Am I allowed to close the box then? The Ramah said if it's a small box and there are flies inside, you can't close it because it's a psikresha. Even though it's lo nichale, but it's a psikresha. So what happens if I don't even know there are flies there? So that the Taz says that's mutter. It's mutter. Why? Now, why is that mutter? I mean, but if there are flies there, it's still a psikresha. But what does it help? So what does it help me that it's a suffix? Back to Mishnah Berurah. What does it help me? You're right. The Taz says like you. Taz says, yeah, you could do it. Since it's a suffix, so it's a davar she'eino mechaven, right? I'm not mechaven to trap the flies. I don't even know there are flies there. So I'm certainly not being mechaven to trap them. But it's a psikresha. The Ramah just said a minute ago, even if you're not mechaven, it's a psikresha. But here the Taz says, yeah, but here there's the suffix element. So it goes back to being like a davar she'eino mechaven. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't understand why. Why is that true? So Zok the Mishnah Berurah, l'chora, the whole concept of saying to say something would be eino miskaven is only based on future considerations. Meaning, let's go back to my case where I gave you a case last week. There's a candle burning, and I want to run. I'm in a rush, so I want to run from here to there, and I'm going to run by the candle, and it may go out when I whoosh by the candle, it may blow out. That's not my kavan. I have no interest in putting out the candle, but it may go out. I know it may or may not. So the halacha is I'm allowed to run by, right? I'm allowed to run by because it's not a psikresha. It's a davar she'eino miskaven. I'm not machaved to put out the candle, and it's not definitely going to go out. So it's not a psikresha. But that's because it's based on the future factors. It's not based on anything. It's undetermined at this point right now. It's undetermined if by running past it's going to put out the candle or not, right? Undetermined. No way to know. So I'm allowed to do it. I'm not mechav. But let's say the facts are already in place. I just don't know the facts, right? In other words, let's say I want to walk by a place where, let's say there's a candle that always goes out when you walk by it. Psikresha or whatever, choose your imagination. It always goes by. I just don't know if the candle's there or not. There might be that candle might be there. That candle might be there. And as soon as I step there, the candle, if it's there, it's going to go out. Am I allowed to do that? I'm not a chavit to put it out. But would you say, well, it's a suffix. Or what he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, no, I don't see why that's okay. That shouldn't be okay. Because if the candle's there, then it's going to be a psik resha. You just don't know if the candle's there. Well, let's go back to the flies. You don't know if there are flies there. If there are flies there, when you close the box, it's a psik resha. Right? You can't close the box without trapping the flies. So Zug the Taz, but it's only a suffing, because it may not be flies. Suffing, and therefore what? So let's say, so Mishnah Berurah says, okay, by flies in the Chanami, so the Rabbanim, it'd be a suffing by the Rabbanim. But if it would be a Doraisa, so let's say it would be a type of thing where it's a Doraisa, so let's go closing the door where there might be a Tzvi inside. I don't know if there's a deer inside this room or not. I don't know. But if there is, and I close the door, he's trapped. Right? So Zug the Mishnah Berurah, how could you do that? It's a suffic deraisa. It's a suffic deraisa. The act you're doing may for sure be a malacha. Now, even though it may be a malacha, it may or may not, but what determines of whether or not this act is a malacha is already in place. The deer is either there or he's not there already. So he might be there. And if he's there and I close the door, Then I did a malacha. Oh, he might not be there. Okay, so it's a suffix. Fine, it's a suffix, but it's a suffix d'oraisa. You can't, right? You can't say, well, but it's not a psik resha. The only heter by davar sheinu miskaven is because when I don't want it to happen, and it may not happen, so in a sense, it's not my act. Even if it ends up happening, it's not my act, because I didn't want it. I wasn't trying to do it, and it wasn't inevitable. I ran by. I wasn't trying to put out the candle. It wasn't definitely going to go out. It happened to go out. That's not my. It's not like I did it. We don't look at it like I did it. But if it's a situation where, if the facts on the ground are such, then my act will definitely do it. So then you can't say you're not mechaven. That's a psik resha. But I don't know if it is not. So it's a suffik psik resha. But a suffik psik resha should also be usher. Right. See, here's the chap here. Normally, you'd say, "Well, suffix psik resha." Those terms are contradictory. The whole idea of psik resha is that it's for sure going to happen. You tell me you're suffix, then how can it be psik? No, it's not. Because again, psik resha, when psik resha means it's for sure going to happen based on you know future factors. If it won't definitely happen based on future factors, which are undetermined right now, then that's taka suffix. That's not a psik resha. But if the facts are already in place, whether or not this act is going to cause the malacha, it's already in place. I just don't know the facts. Then, let's say the guy would close his eyes and go like this. Like that. You know, there's a candle. It might be burning, might not. He doesn't. He closes his eyes. He walks over and he goes like this in a way that it definitely, if the candle's burning, it'll definitely put out the candle, right? Is he allowed to do that? Well, you know, I wasn't mechaven. Okay, I mean, it sounds like he's mechaven in that case. But let's see, he's not mechaven. I want to go and play a game there. I want to play a game with a sheet, or I'm very hot. I want to fan myself vigorously, and I know there's a candle there that's sometimes burning. And if I go like this, it's for sure going to go out. But I'm not mechaven. I don't know if the candle's there or not. I'm not looking. I don't see if the candle's there or not. So you say, oh, it's okay. So you don't know. So if you don't know, it's okay to do. It's only a suffix. No, but and it's not a psik resha. What do you mean it's not a psik resha? If the candle's burning, it is a psik resha. I don't know if it's burning, so then it's a suffix psik resha. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah asks. But the Taz says not like that. The Taz says no, even if it's just the suffix. And right, I hope it's be clear. So there's a case in your idea where Rabbi Kivega says the same yisod applies.
So for the bottom line, the aloha, we don't look at Taz.
I'll try to say it before the end. I'll say it. I just want to show you something. Rabbi Kivega says that this concept appears in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya. Yerideya, in at the beginning of Hilchos Basa B'Chalav, it talks about, there's a halacha in the Ramah that says, if you're staying, you're in an inn with non-Jews, and there's a pot, even if the pot has kosher food in it, right, has kosher food in it, but make sure that you don't stoke the coals, or stoke the fire under that pot. As your pot is on the other, is on the other burner or something, and the guy asks, you do me a favor, could you just, it's just water, don't worry, there's no chaser in there, there's no, just water and noodles, can you do me a favor and just, you know, give a stir to the coals under my pot. So says the Ramah, oh, be a nice guy, right? The Kiddush Hashem, says the Ramah, you can't do it. Why can't you do it? Because that pot, in the past, was very likely used for basar, and for chalav, so it has bleas of basar and chalav in it, and it's bleas of basar and chalav in it, and when you stoke the flame under it, you're cooking basar b'chalav. if there's basar and chalav both absorb right now in the walls of this pot, when you stoke the flame under the pot, you're doing bishul basar b'chalav. That's why the Rama says you can't do it. So I asked Rabbi Kiveger, but it's only a suffix. You don't know. You're not trying to do that. I'm not interested in cooking basar b'chalav. I just want to stoke the flame. The guy asked me to his pasta is cooking, and he wants it to, you know, he needs to increase the flame. So he asked me to stoke the flame just to cook his pasta. And there's no basar b'chalav in this pot right now. Maybe absorbed inside. Maybe there is, but there's nothing cooking in the pot. So Rabbi Kiveger says only a suffix, right? Why shouldn't you be allowed to do it? So Rabbi Kiveger says, I'll tell you why I can't. And he says, because of the Mishnah Berurah. He doesn't quote the Mishnah Berurah. He preceded the Mishnah Berurah. But he says the exact same thing in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, because even though it's only a suffix, that there may be nothing going on there, but on the tzad that there is basar b'chalav there, you don't know. On the tzad that there is, so it's a psik resha. It's a psik resha. You're not mechav, right? You're not mechav if you're cooking basar b'chalav. So why? But on the tzad that there is basar and chalav in the walls of this pot, then it's a psik resha that you're going to be cooking basar b'chalav. And he says there, but the whole idea of psik resha is that it's vadi here, it's not vadi. He says no. He says that's only when it's tali in the asid, when it's not vadi based on the asid. But when it's shaila factors the ovar, the facts, what are the facts already? What is the metzias already? Then you can't say segregation. That's what he says. And if he says usher, but at the end of the piece, it's a long piece from Kiveger, he says, but you know, then he quotes the Taz, right? He says, even though I'm saying this far, the Taz says the other way. And the Taz says it is, that this thing is not taka mutter, this type of concept would be mutter. So he says, okay, the Taz at least will be a limud schus. He says, because it's very hard for people, and Baruch Hashem, we don't live in that type of lifestyle now, but very hard for people when they're traveling and they're, you know, Gaisha Inns and stuff, and it's very hard not to, you know, not to be in a situation like this sometimes where they have to end up doing things like this. And so it'll be a limud schus. Lefi the Taz, it's mutter to do it.
We can just ask the guy, how do we do
it? Well, you can't ask the guy. He's not going to help to ask the guy if it's...
Why not?
He can't believe it.
He
would have known that Marasa would help. Okay, so the Rebbe Kiveger says the Taz says such a thing is not called a psikresha and it's taka darshein miskamein, so that would be a limuschus. Okay, so here's what the halacha is. So at the end of the Bir Halacha is a long discussion about this, and even though he in Svara he says if the Taz hadn't said it to me, the Svara sees the opposite. But he finds a raya from a Ramban and a Meiri in the third parak of Shabbos to the Taz Svara. He taka finds that the Rishonim, at least those two Rishonim, Ramban and Meiri, seem to be going like the Taz, and that's where he ends. He just says I have a raya to the Taz for that. So lemais halach lemais, what the poskim say is that by something which is only a shaila v'nisa derabanan, it's okay to do, but by nisa deraisa you shouldn't do it. So let me give you an example that might sort of nogea. I mean, now, let's say you have an oven. And this is before, no Shabbos mode, right? Leave a Shabbos mode that you have just a regular old oven, and it's on. And now it's Shabbos, and it's on. And meaning you left it on. So it goes on, the flame goes on and off. You have, let's say, a gas oven, right? Or even an electric thing. But it goes on and off based with a thermostat. So you want to open the door of the oven to take out your food. But when you open the door of the oven, it could be that might trigger, it might be off, if it's off now, when you open the door, it could be that it'll go on immediately, because it could be like the temperature is dropping, and it's right above the point where if it goes down like another degree or half a degree, it'll go on right away. And when you open the door of the oven, then the cool air goes in immediately, within, you know, a second or two, it'll go on. So then that's like you did a Maisa Havara. Now, say, well, I wasn't mechavin, right? I didn't intend to. I just wanted to take my food out. I didn't want to turn it on. I wasn't mechavin. But it's a psik resha. If the oven is holding at that point where it's about to click on, and all it needs is like another half a degree of cool air, and so if you didn't touch it, eventually on its own, it'll take a little bit longer, but eventually the temperature is going to drop one more degree, and it'll go on. But when you open the door, that's it. That's the makom hapatish. You let cold air in, and it went on. So it was a psik resha, but it was only a suffix psik resha, because I don't know if it's up to there. I can't ask the oven, are you about to turn on? You know, how much more cool air? I don't. It's, you know, an old oven, especially. I don't have a a thermometer, I think, so I don't know, a thermometer telling me exactly what temperature it's at. I just know that eventually it goes on. Every while when it gets, the temperature drops, it goes on. And sometimes when you open the door, it's similar to a refrigerator. That, again, without Shabbos Mose and stuff, all style refrigerators, everything changes in this world, but all style refrigerators where not the light bulb is off, that's not the issue, but the motor, that the condenser that cools the food goes on and off, right? When does it go on? When the temperature raises, when it gets warm enough inside, it clicks on again, right? And sometimes when you open the door, you're going to make it go on, right? So there's all needed in the postkim, in the American postkim from the 60s, 70s. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to open a refrigerator on Shabbos?
But that's not a pasuk rashi.
Well, maybe.
Because most of the times you are not activating the compressor, so.
It might depend on the refrigerator most now, but you're touching exactly the point. But maybe it's right now. It's at let's say it's set at 36.
So just because it's in the breaking point, it's a pasuk rashi. Just because.
I just don't know. Right. Let's say the breaking point is 30. At 36, it goes on.
Okay.
And right now it's holding at 35 and it's getting warmer. It's at 33, 4, 5. Now it's at 35.5. And as soon as I open the door, it's going to take 2 seconds. I just don't know, because I don't know what the temperature is. But it might be a psik ratio. I just don't know. That's exactly this case. It's a suffix psik ratio. There might be flies in there. And if there are flies and I close the box, it's a psik ratio. But I didn't know there are flies. I don't know there are flies in there. But if they are there, it's a psik ratio. If they're not there, it's no problem. So this example. So here would be a chilek. By the stove, or by the oven, it's a shalom and a deraisa, because if you cause an oven to go on, you know, the flame or even the electric, you know, bar, that's deraisa, that's mamish havara, maybe even bishul depending on the food, but it's definitely havara. The refrigerator, if you call like most poskim, that electricity is only derabbanan, refrigerator is only derabbanan, you know, the light's not an issue, the light bulb is off. Just the motor of the refrigerator that turns on the compressor, well, that is the compressor, whatever, is so that's derabbanan. So this might be an example. If it's taka, you know, works that way. Now you can maybe avoid it by making kalachriyad, and that's what some poskim say to do, even by refrigerator. Even by refrigerator, you know, you shouldn't open it directly. You should open it in an indirect kalachriyad. And by the stove, that might be an etzah too. If you know it's, especially you know, it usually doesn't go on, but. Punk, now it might be going on. So if you open it, make it into a derabanan, so then it becomes a suffix secretion of the derabanan, that might be an etzah.
And you wait until it's working and just open it?
Yes. If you wanted to, yes. If you have patience, and you yes, for sure. Yeah, wait till that's the best thing to do. Wait till if you could tell, you know, as long as you could tell from the outside that when it's on. You could see inside or you could hear.
You can see the...
Yeah, if you can, okay, fine.
Or,
yeah.
Or
yes.
Hear the fridge.
Yeah, for sure. That's what some people do with the fridge. Some people won't touch it unless it's on. But okay. Anyway, so that is this concept. It's called suffix psikresha, or the lashon is psikresha shela avar, right? Psikresha, which is based on not on what might happen, based on what did happen. There are flies there, or there aren't, right? The stove is ready to go on, or it's not. That's the case. And that's the Shiloh where in Svara the Bir Alacha thinks it should be Usher, but he does say it's Mashra from Rishonim that it's Mutter. And as I said, that one of the Mahalchim Ipsak is to say to be allowed by the Rabbanans and not by the Rises. Okay, just to say for now, at least one more thing about Psikresha, and that the whole concept of Psikresha is that it's, I'm not mechaven, right? I want to do A. A is mutter. I don't want to do B, but B's going to result. B's for sure going to result, right? For sure. Cut off the head of the chicken. I don't want to kill the chicken. I'd be very happy the chicken walk around without its head. But I just want the head. I just want the head to give my child to play with, right? The chicken can live, go and live a happy life after, without his head. I'll be very happy. Okay, but it's a secretion. It's inevitable. So that's the concept. So where it's vadi going to happen, right? If it's not vadi, if something which might not happen, it's mutter. What happened? But so Post can say, what happens if it's not? It's not 100% going to happen. It's not like the chicken case. It's not 100%, but it's, let's say it's 99%, or 90. It's most likely. It's extremely likely it's going to happen. Not vadi going to happen though. Does it sometimes not happen? Let's say it's the type of this bench. It's quite a heavy bench, but it's not, you know, it's not a Hercules bench. Sometimes I pull it across the dirt and it doesn't make a furrow. I've practiced during the week. I did it 10 times and 8 times it made a furrow and 2 times it didn't. Or I practiced 15 times and 13 out of 15 it made a furrow, twice it didn't. It's not mamish psikration, but it's very, very light. So do we say, oh, no, if it's not a psik, if it's not absolute, then it's darvashenem iskaven. It's a suffix, and I'm not machan for it, and it's not definitely going to happen. Or do we say, no, you know, psikration doesn't have to mean, most things in life are not 100%, right? So why should psikration have to be 100%? It'd be karov. So Lemaise, it says that in a number of places. I just want to quote you, bring in a couple of sources where the poskim say that even if it's not mamish vadai, it's still usher. There's a first Lebri Halacha in Reish Ayin Zayin. Sif Aleph brings a Marsha. The Marsha is a Mesech HaShabbos of Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. He's talking about the case, you know, there's a Halacha that I keep giving the case of running past the candle, but there's a Halacha. The Halacha discusses the idea of not opening a door to the outside when there's in front of burning candles because of when it's a psikresha that the, you know, the wind's going to put them out. So the Marsha says there that even if it's not a psikresha mamish, it's still usher. And the Bar Halacha says that's why the Shulchan Aruch there in Reish Ayin Zayin, when it's talking about this halacha, Reish Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph, it says Ner Shemunach Achari Hadelis, Asir L'Toach Hadelis Kidarko Shema Yichabenu Haruach. This Ner Shachori Hadelis, right? Okay. So Shema Yichabenu Haruach. So Mishpura says, why is it say Shema? Shema Yichabenu Haruach. I mean, if it's only Shema, so why is it Asr? I mean, it should be, it has to be Psikresha. It's not Psikresha Mutter. Shema usually means maybe, yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe not. So Mishpura says, Apil is Marsha, that when he says Shema, he means because it's not 100%, but the situation we're talking about where it's extremely likely, it'd be very unlikely for it not to happen. Very unlikely.
What's the
number? I don't know the percentage, but it's not going to help you because you're not going to be able to sit there and figure out the percentage. Let's say, okay, it's 97.5. So now you're going to be able to judge each case if it's 97.5 or not.
Right.
Okay. So it means very, it's Karov Levadi. Let's see. The other Lashon is Mr. Brun Simon Shin Yudal Sivkat Nun Beis is talking about a knife that's stuck into the wall and, the question about putting it in and out, where you're going to make a bigger hole in the wall. It's very likely you put it into the hole that's already there, but it's very likely. And he says it's kimat. It's after Amos Kavan. That's kimat psikreshahu, that you're going to make a bigger hole by putting, you know, pulling it in or out, and therefore you shouldn't do that. He says his lush is kimat psikresha, or in the Sharetzion Shin Chav Sifkat Mem Tes. I got these metamakomas from various forums, from like I had a sefer and some from, I forget, from different forum. He brings maybe the Shmir Shavas Kehilchasa and the Mavo. He says there also it's karov lipsikresha. He talks about the end of karov lipsikresha, and okay, beside the Mishnah Berurah, the sefer Shvisas on Shabbos also says this idea that karov lipsikresha is also has the same halacha. Okay, all right. So the bottom line is, what we'll walk away with now for now is that on Shabbos we passing like Rabbi Shimon that davar shenem iskaven is mutter. So if I'm not trying to do a malacha, I'm trying to do something which is perfectly permissible. The act I want to do is permissible. That's my goal, to accomplish this act. Just that there's something else which may result, may or may not. Fair suffix. Even if it's like, even now here I can say even if it's likely, but it's not extremely likely, it's mutter to do it. But if it's extremely likely, and certainly if it's vadi that the other thing's going to happen, then it's going to be usser. And like we learned, even if you don't want the other thing to happen, particularly still should be machmer under most circumstances.
Why do they choose to raise?